Welcome, everyone. Happy Wednesday evening to you. This is our midweek refresh service because we need that middle of the week time where we get back into God's presence and we are just uplifted and refreshed in Him. And we welcome every one of you that's here in person and those that are joining us online. We're so glad to be able to be together with the family of God tonight. And we're going to open our service reading from Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people, His treasured possession." And what this passage is saying, you know, we belong to God. He chose us. We are holy unto Him, separated from all the other people of the world. We are His. And what a wonderful privilege and blessing to belong to the Lord. And this is reason to praise the Lord. So let's lift our hearts and our voices unto Him tonight. Would you stand to your feet here and at home and let's just worship and honor the Lord tonight. Our wonderful and gracious God, we thank you for choosing us. We thank you for making us your own through Jesus Christ. It's such a joy and a privilege to be your people, Lord God. We worship you tonight. We live for you. We honor you, Lord God. We gather together tonight to seek you, to worship you, and to humble ourselves before you. Lord, we welcome your presence in this place. We want to meet with you tonight. Come, Lord God, and move among us, move in our lives, Lord God, and let us be changed by this time in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together tonight.
We praise your name, Father God. We worship you, O Lord. Have your way in us, O Lord. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call, so let your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and God in Zion's hill, salvation come. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. I know these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wine in your womb. And we are the laborers in vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like a sun. And the trumpet calls, so lift your voice. The year of jubilee, and I of Zion's hill, salvation come. Behold, shining like a sun at the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of jubilee, a night of Zion's hill, salvation come. There's no God.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he come riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. The year of Jubilee, and I in Zion will salvation come. Behold, he come riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. The year of Jubilee, and I in Zion will salvation come.
Yes, O Lord, we give you the praise, honor, and glory, Father God. Oh, we thank you, Father God. We just seek your face tonight, Lord God. And Lord, we just give it all to you, Lord God. And just, we want to just welcome the Holy Spirit here tonight. We lay it all at your feet. We just worship you, Father God. We invite you in now, oh God. Have your way, Father.
There's nothing worth love that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. Your presence I've tasted and seen. The sweetest of love, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Yes, oh God,
your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing worth more. Hallelujah.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope
in your presence, oh God.
Your presence. I've tasted and seen. Of the sweetest of love, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord,
let us.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more.
presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Yes, Lord.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. Lord, your presence, Lord, your presence, Lord,
hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Come forward in it.
Lord, you are welcome in this place.
Yes.
We say, Holy Spirit, we need you. Every day, every moment, every instant of our lives, we need your guidance, your truth. We need your presence to be with us. Say it together, Lord, I need you.
Stay.
say it all together. Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Just lift your hands to heaven.
Every hour I need you.
Tell him how much it
my
means.
My one defense, my righteousness.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord. In you we live and move and have our being, Lord God. You are the strength of our life, Lord. You are our hope. You are our inspiration. You are our joy. You are our all in all, Lord God. Hallelujah. As one songwriter said, Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We need you. We welcome your presence in our lives tonight. Come and take complete control. Come and fill us afresh and anew with more and more of your Spirit, oh God. Hallelujah to your name. We worship and honor you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. As we continue in an attitude of worship tonight, if you have a need in your life, would you just reach a hand towards heaven? It's just a sign that you are reaching out to God in faith. And we're going to agree together in prayer with you tonight. And if you're joining us tonight and you don't have a need, then you pray for somebody who does. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in your prayers. If you're filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will pray through you according to the mind and heart of God. Let's lift our voices as we pray for one another tonight, would you? Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight, giving you all praise and all glory, Lord God, because you only are worthy, Lord. Lord, we come to you tonight with the confidence of children pulling up to the Father's table, because your word promises us that we have the right as children of God to come into your presence, Lord, and to make our requests known unto you. Father, we lift before you every person tonight that has a hand upraised to you in faith. Father, we are praying for those that are sick in their bodies tonight. Father, it doesn't matter what the sickness is, be it cancer or disease or kidney failure or arthritis. Lord God, your name is greater. Your power is greater, Lord God. There is nothing that you cannot do. Stretch forth your hand of healing in these lives tonight. We pray for those that are sick with COVID, Lord God. Father, touch them tonight. Quicken their bodies, Lord. Restore them to health, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father, we lift before you tonight those that are struggling in their spiritual walk, Lord God. Father, maybe they find themselves in a wilderness place, a dry place, a place of discouragement. Father, we lift them before you tonight. We pray for seasons of refreshing to come upon their spirit, Lord God, that you would just pour out afresh and anew the living waters of your Holy Spirit as they turn to seek you, Lord God. Father, we pray for those that are struggling emotionally, Lord God, with fear or anxiety, with stress, depression, Lord God. Father, your word says that you are the glory and the lifter of our head. We pray that you would be that for them tonight, that you would minister to them, that you would encourage their hearts, that you would surround them with your love, Lord God, and that you would hold them fast in the embrace of your presence. Let your peace that passes all understanding just fill their hearts and minds tonight. Father, we pray for every person tonight that has a financial need or in need of employment, Lord God. Father, we are believing you tonight, Lord, to open your hand and supply the need of their lives, Lord God. Father, for every mountain, for every obstacle, for every difficulty that stands before your people tonight. Our eyes are upon you because you are our help, and we are believing that the same way that you made a way through the Red Sea, you made a way through the wilderness, you made a way through the flooded Jordan for your people to cross over, Lord God, and possess the land. Father, we are believing you tonight to make a way for your people, Lord God, that you would miraculously move in their behalf, Lord God, that you would do what only you can do. We trust every need into your mighty and able hands tonight. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, and we give you all praise and all glory because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. So good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. I see all home folks here in person, but if you're joining us for the first time online, if you would just type in the comments first time and let us know where you're tuning in from. We just want the opportunity to welcome you. Reminding everybody that we do have in-person services on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., as well as in-person children's ministry. No reservation needed. And on Wednesday nights, we do have in-person services. We apologize for any that brought their kids for Royal Rangers tonight, but Joubert was off tonight, and Pastor Chris was exposed to someone potentially with COVID, and so he's waiting to get his test results back. And so for that reason, we do not have a Royal Rangers group tonight. So we apologize for that. We do want to encourage everyone to remember that September is back to church month. And, you know, people have already been going back out on vacation. They've been going back out to eat, going back into the stores. Kids are going back to school next week. A lot of people have already gone back to work. And now it's time to get back to church. Amen. So September is back to church month. And we want to encourage everybody in our congregation to be praying for five people. Praying for five people. Reach out to them during the month of August. Encourage them, connect with them, pray for them, and then love them enough to invite them to come back to church with you in September. That's the most loving thing that we can do for them at this time. And so I encourage you to do that. Let God lay on your heart those five people that he wants you to pray for, reach out to, and invite. And do that during the month of August so that when September comes, we can be all back together in the house of the Lord. Amen. We also remind you that our Ministry Training Institute will be beginning classes the first Thursday night in September. The classes being offered are Beginning Ministerial Internship, which is a practical ministry course about the heart for ministry and some of the practical aspects of ministry. The other class is Pauline Epistles, which is the letters that Paul wrote in the New Testament. Very interesting, really unlocks the meaning of the New Testament for us. Classes are $85 each. They're going to be by Zoom, and you can enroll online, get all the information online, pay online. Just go to our website, nl-fl.org, click the Connect tab, scroll down to Ministry Institute, click on that tab, and all the information will be there for you. And I believe the deadline to register without a late fee is August 22nd, so be sure to get that done as soon as possible. These classes will deepen your knowledge of God's Word and your relationship with Him, and they'll better equip you to serve the Lord. So be sure to check that out. At this time, we're going to take a moment to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings, and we're reading from Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 5 and verses 18 through 22. The scripture says, while Moses was on Mount Sinai, the Lord said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you have entered the land I'm giving you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath rest before the Lord every seventh year. For 6 years, you may plant your fields and prune your vineyards and harvest your crops, but during the seventh year, the land must have a Sabbath year of complete rest. It is the Lord's Sabbath. Do not plant your fields or prune your vineyards during that year, and don't store away the crops that grow on their own or gather the grapes from your unpruned vines. The land must have a year of complete rest. Verse 18, if you want to live securely in the land, follow my decrees and obey my regulations. Then the land will yield large crops and you will eat your fill and live securely in it. But you might ask, what will we eat during the seventh year since we're not allowed to plant or harvest crops that year? Be assured that I will send my blessing for you in the sixth year, so the land will produce a crop large enough for 3 years. When you plant your fields in the eighth year, you will still be eating from the large crop of the sixth year. In fact, you will still be eating from that large crop when the new crop is harvested in the ninth year. You know, just as God commanded a day of rest for his people every 7 days, that we are supposed to take a Sabbath to worship him and to disconnect from work and the busyness of life so that we can be renewed and refreshed spiritually, God also commanded that there be a rest for the land every 7 years. And I think it's so interesting that agricultural financial experts today do teach the importance of letting fields rest for a year, and then when you replant them, then they come back a lot more fruitful than before. And just, you know, science just proving that that the Bible is true and that God's principles are right. And this was basically God's instruction for good stewardship over the land. And if it required all the annual produce of the field to support the inhabitants, the people were asking, well, how can we feed ourselves while the land is resting? And God is saying, you know what, I'm going to make sure that the land yields enough in the sixth year that it's going to sustain you through that time when you can't plant. You know, and there's a principle for this in our giving, because giving is often described as sowing seeds and yielding a harvest. And we may think, Lord, if I sow my tithe, how can I live on the 90%? You know, but God is telling us, and he's making it clear, that if we'll honor him, if we'll obey his commands, that his blessing will be upon our life, and he will make sure to prosper us and to provide everything that we need. And so we give today, and by subtraction we have less, but by God's command and blessing, we have more than if we did not give. So let's give in faithful obedience tonight, knowing that it's well-pleasing to the Lord, and he has promised to bless us when we are obedient to him. And don't forget the Light the World Project for our new lights and equipment. If you can give a special offering to that, we would appreciate it. To give to that project, all you have to do is text any amount followed by the word lights. If you're just giving your regular tithes and offerings, it's just the amount, and hit send. The text giving number's on your screen, 954-516-1522. Thank you for all of those who have already given and continue to give, and for all who faithfully worship the Lord and support the work of ministry here with your faithful tithes and offerings. You can also give online if you choose at our website, nl-fl.org. Just click the Give tab, or you can mail your offerings into the church, however you choose to honor the Lord with your giving. We're going to bless the offering at this time. Would you stand to your feet as we pray? Heavenly Father, we just come before your presence tonight with gratitude, Lord God, thanking you for all of your blessings in our life. We love you, Lord God, and we are here to worship you tonight. We recognize you as the source of everything that we need, our provider, and it is our joy and our privilege to give back to you a portion of what we have received from your own hand. We pray that you will bless our tithes and our offerings, that you will use it to minister to and reach many lives, Lord God. Be well pleased with our giving, and bless and prosper your people as they give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it wonderful that when we walk in faithful obedience to the Lord, that he calls us his friends? The Almighty God of the universe calls us his friends. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. We appreciate you. We want to remind everybody that this Sunday we are continuing our series, Divorce Proof Your Marriage, and we encourage you to invite anybody you know who's married and who could benefit from this, even though this can benefit anybody, those that plan to be married one day, or anybody who knows somebody that's married that they care about, because sometimes, you know, as Christians, we can play a vital role in giving wisdom, speaking the wisdom of God's word into the lives of others. So these messages really are for everybody, and we encourage you to join us on Sunday morning for this very important series, Divorce Proof Your Marriage. Take an opportunity right now just to share this live stream on your social media so that others can join in and be blessed by the word of God tonight. We're continuing
continuing our series Going Against the Current from the book of Daniel, and tonight's message is titled Don't Blend In, Stand Out. Don't Blend In, Stand Out. If you live in Florida, you know that there are lizards everywhere. Amen. And did you know that there are more than 56 species? 56 different species of lizards in Florida. I think I've seen all of them. Amen. But one species of lizard is called a chameleon. Have you ever heard of a chameleon? These lizards have the unique and uncanny ability to actually change colors. And it has long been touted that they change colors to blend into their environment as a means of camouflage to protect themselves. In fact, that's what I'd always heard and that's what I'd always believed. But in preparing this message, I did some research on chameleons and surprisingly found out that what most people think about chameleons isn't true. In fact, it's backwards. One expert stated, the expression blending in like a chameleon isn't entirely accurate, meaning these lizards don't change their appearance to fit in, but rather to stand out. Daniel Flynn from the Oakland Zoo, who is a reptile expert, explains that when chameleons get excited, or they feel threatened, or they want to display themselves positively towards a female, or negatively towards a rival, it triggers a structural change in their cells that gives off the appearance of different colors, some going from green to brown, or even to the brilliant colors of orange, red, and yellow. It makes them look more powerful. It makes them look bigger. It makes them look more attractive. So they actually change colors to stand out for a variety of different reasons. They're not trying to blend in. They're trying to stand out. And that is exactly what God has called us to do, to not blend in, but to stand out. And we see this clearly illustrated in the life of Daniel as he lived in the midst of an ungodly culture. And he didn't blend into that culture. He stood out as a bright and shining testimony for God. Read with me, if you will, Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. The scripture says, during the third year of King Jehoiakim reigned in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylon and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family, and to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal palace, and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. You know, the story of Daniel and his three Hebrew friends gives us an amazing example of what it looks like to live in the midst of an ungodly culture, hostile towards those who choose to live for God, and determined to pressure them to conform to their culture. We're living in a modern day Babylon. We're living in a culture that does not know and does not honor the one true God. And when you speak of Babylon in scripture, it represents pagan religions and beliefs. It represents evil and worldliness. That's what it stands for. And Daniel is an example of what faithfulness to God looks like in the midst of a pagan culture. A message that we need today more than ever, and that we will need all the more as the pressure increases to bow to the beliefs, the standards, and morals of our culture. And what Daniel teaches us and what we see from his determination to remain undefiled is that while we live in the culture, we must maintain our distinctiveness from the culture. We live in the culture, but we must maintain our distinctiveness from the culture. We must live and function within the culture. We live in a godless world, and we have to somehow make a life in the midst of this godless world. Do you agree? All right. In verses 3 and 4, it tells us that the king's chief of staff, Ashpenaz, was tasked to select top candidates from the royal families and the noblemen of Judah and take them through a three-year course of, in effect, Babylonian brainwashing to separate them from their past. That's why they were given new names. They were given names that identified themselves with Babylonian gods, and we looked at that in our previous message. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. But they gave them new names to break their ties with Judaism and their faith in the one true God, and they changed their names to Babylonian names that were tied to Babylonian gods, false gods, and they wanted to indoctrinate them in the ways of Babylon, that they would develop a new allegiance to the king and pagan beliefs and the way of life in Babylon. So it was an intensive three-year Babylonian brainwashing course, and it was intended to prepare them to be magicians and enchanters, experts in the occult, to serve as advisors to the king of Babylon. Because in that day, the king's advisors were enchanters. They were people that were versed in the occult or practiced the occult. And so Daniel and his three friends, they were facing incredible pressure. On one side was the authority and might of the most powerful empire in the world at that time, and they were just teenage boys, far away from home and the rest of their family. How could they maintain their faith and commitment to God and not get swallowed up in the culture in which they were immersed? It seems like they wouldn't have much of a chance to be able to resist, to be able to stand up and represent God. And you know, we are living in a modern day Babylon, a culture that has no respect for God, no regard for God, a society that is permeated with sin and immorality, that celebrates sin and immorality, a culture that is increasingly intent on punishing anyone who does not conform to its beliefs, its standards, and its practices. And we see it clearly happening as more and more ministers are being banned from various cable networks. Dr. D. James Kennedy, right up here in North Broward, who teaches a wonderful word from God, was banned from a cable network because of his stance on biblical marriage, and they said that doesn't represent the values of their network. It's a network I think that many people probably have watched and do watch, but they banned him from paying to air the church services on their network. And we see this happening more and more, people being banned from social media because they're not going along with the politically correct position on some of these immoral behaviors. And they're being banned for what is referred to as controversial content. Well, who determines that it's controversial? And what they're talking about as controversial content, and what they've banned some ministers for, is teaching against abortion or upholding biblical teaching on marriage and sexuality. And they're banning these preachers on social media as well as on television. And perhaps you've heard the term cancel culture. Anybody heard the term cancel culture? It's a modern form of punishing those who resist what is deemed to be the politically correct stance or practice on a variety of subjects. So cancel culture is prevalent today, using the pressure of the masses to express disapproval for someone who does not hold what is deemed the politically correct position. So they villainize anyone who does not toe the line with what is politically correct. They'll come up with some hashtag that comes against that person. Before you know it, millions of people are attacking that person. And the aim is to silence them, to remove their voice from social media or TV, to force them out of social and professional circles in real life, even cause them to lose their job, and maybe even shut down their business. That has happened. And there is a systematic brainwashing that is taking place in our educational system, in media, in entertainment, and in politics to conform to the lies, the beliefs, the morals, the values, and the practices that the godless society deems as correct. But like Daniel, we need to determine not to defile ourselves. Daniel would not allow Babylon to pressure him to violate or compromise God's law, nor would he allow Babylon to change his identity as a Jew, a man of God, by changing his name to a pagan name of a Babylonian god. However, Daniel and his friends did not rail against his oppressors. They did not go out and intentionally fight against or agitate against their oppressors. With respect and humility, Daniel reacted or responded, and he asked permission, for instance, not to eat the king's food, but he suggested an alternative vegetarian diet for 10 days. And he says, look, just let us try it for 10 days. If you don't find us to be healthier than the rest of the people in your brainwashing Babylonian program, then that's fine. But you know what? God blessed them, and they were found to be much better than the rest of the people in that program. So God honored them. And it's at the end of the 10 days, verse 15 says, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. Isn't that wonderful? Vegetarian diet, and they're healthier and better nourished. Amen? Thank God I'm vegan now. Praise God. So I'm doing the Daniel diet. So they were able to respectfully and amiably avoid violating the dietary laws of God's word by taking this path. But they still had to endure the godless Babylonian leadership training. So they learned the nation's history. They learned the culture, they learned the language, they respected the government as much as possible. I know that they did not learn or embrace the practices of occultism that were being taught to them, because we see throughout the book of Daniel that Daniel remained steadfast in his faith in the one true God. So they rejected those elements of the culture that were in direct conflict with God and with God's word, and they embraced what they could in the culture that was not offensive to God. So that way they were able to navigate a path of living in a godless culture, but yet remain their distinctiveness from that culture. We need to live and function in the midst of a godless culture. So we need to be well versed on what's going on in our nation, and we need to be familiar with the culture and with the language, but we need to be determined to maintain our distinctiveness as people of God and refuse in a respectful and in a humble way to compromise our commitment to God or to violate his word. God wants us not to blend in, but to stand out. But he wants us to stand out with respect. He wants us to stand out with humility, and he wants us to stand out with grace. Amen. We must determine to live as God's people in a godless culture. We must live as strangers in a foreign culture. Some of us know what that's like, amen, because we have come from foreign countries and we have immigrated to the United States. And when we first got here, we were in a foreign culture. So we know what it's like to be strangers in a foreign culture. And one of the prevailing images or metaphors used in scripture to describe the Christian life is one of exile or sojourn. For instance, in 2 Peter 2:11, Peter writes, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." And so what Peter is telling us is we need to think of ourselves as temporary residents and foreigners on this earth, which is presently under the dominion of the evil one. But it's not as though we're taking a vacation trip through life until we get to heaven. No, we are in enemy territory. We need to resist those worldly desires and wage war, like Peter said, against those forces that are trying to destroy our very souls. This world and all that belongs to it is against God. It is opposed to God. In fact, in Ephesians 3:20, Paul reminds us that we are citizens of heaven. Or actually Philippians 3:20, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. And so what, again, he's telling us, we're not citizens of this world. We are citizens of heaven, and we represent Christ in this world until he comes back to receive us unto to himself. And so our identity must not be derived from this world, but from our relationship with God and with his people. We must live as citizens of heaven, even while we're still here on earth. I read an article recently on how Americans can be easily identified when traveling around the world. And the article mentioned things like the fact that Americans like to wear oversized t-shirts and sweatshirts, athletic shoes, and shorts, even when it's cool outside. It went on to say American women wear lots of accessories, and Americans like big portions in restaurants and cafes. Because people don't eat like Americans do. They eat a lot lighter meals. But the whole gist of the article is that Americans stand out wherever they go because they carry the American culture with them into those countries, and so they are easily recognizable. Well, folks, we are citizens of heaven, and God is saying we need to carry the culture of the kingdom of heaven wherever we are. We ought to stand out. We ought to be easily recognizable as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We must not allow ourselves to be brainwashed by the constant bombardment of the godless messaging of our culture. You know, I just saw advertised today, and it just grieved my heart. Disney has just made a remake of Cinderella, and one of the fairy godmother in this remake actually represents a lifestyle that is very contrary to the Word of God, and they are putting it in children's programming in order to brainwash children from the time that they are young. And that's why it's so important, if you're a Christian parent or a grandparent, that you're careful what you're allowing your children to watch, and be sure that you know what the contents are. Because even, you know, we might think Cinderella, and we're thinking the Cinderella that we saw when we were young, but that's not the Cinderella that they've remade. And so, you know, we have to be very careful, because from a very young age, the world is trying to brainwash our children into godless values. And that's why Paul exhorts us in Romans 12:2. He says, do not conform to the pattern, other versions say the behavior and customs of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what, you know, we need to do is we need to saturate our minds with the Word of God, saturate our children's minds with the Word of God. That's why we need to have them in church as much as possible, in order to counter the unrelenting pressure of this world that is trying to press us to conform to its mold. And we must refuse to be pressed into this world's mold, but instead we must saturate ourselves with the Word of God, so that our minds will be constantly renewed, so that we can learn to know God's will and to live by God's will. The second principle that we see from Daniel's life is we must trust God's promises and follow God's practices. We must trust God's promises and follow God's practices. We must be determined to follow God's ways no matter the cost. And more, folks, there will be a cost for following God's ways. Daniel and his three Hebrew friends committed to God, and they committed that they would not defile themselves, but their commitment would be tested, and their choice to follow God's way would come at a high cost. For instance, Daniel's three Hebrew friends would refuse to bow down to the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar that he had erected, and in consequence to that, we know that they would be cast into the fiery furnace. But they said, King, we don't have to think about this twice. Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't deliver us, we will never bow our knee to your statue. We will only worship God. So they didn't have to think about it twice. They were resolved in their commitment to God, but that commitment would be tested. We know that Daniel's commitment would be tested in many ways, but the one that probably stands out to us most is when the other leaders or governors of Persia were jealous over Daniel's promotion, and so they manipulated the king into signing a decree that no one could pray to any other god except to the emperor for a period of 30 days. And so they knew that Daniel would not abide by that, and so they were trying to set a trap for him. And so Daniel indeed refused to compromise to their pressure. And so Daniel was arrested, and Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But of course, we know that God was faithful, and he delivered them, and he used it as a powerful testimony to the kings and to the people of Babylon. You know, when we read these stories, we focus on the fact that God delivered the three Hebrew men from the fiery furnace, and it was an incredible miracle, wasn't it? Amen. But sometimes we forget that they had to go through the fiery furnace. They had to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and it had been heated 7 times its normal heat, so much so that it killed the very guards that threw them into the fire. So God delivered them, yes, but he didn't deliver them before they were thrown in. He delivered them while they were in the fire. And so there's a cost, and the same goes for Daniel. You know, we focus on the fact that God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, and what a wonderful miracle, but sometimes we forget that Daniel had to spend the night in a pit with what is estimated to be 200 hungry lions. So God delivered him, but he didn't deliver him before he was thrown into the pit with the lions. He delivered him that night while he was in the pit with the lions. And so there was a cost, and we are living in the end times, and that means that persecution, hatred, betrayal will increase. Jesus said it's going to get worse and worse. In fact, Matthew 24 is one of Jesus' most extensive teachings on the end times. And he says this in verses 9 through 14. He says, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations or all people because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." But you know what Jesus is describing in this passage is that one of the signs that the end is near is that there is going to be increased hatred, increased opposition to Christianity and to those who serve God, and increased persecution. And of course, we're already beginning to see this take place. It's stronger overseas, but it's happening now here in the United States as well. And in 1 John 2:18, John writes, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know that it is the last hour." And you might be saying, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought there was only one Antichrist that is going to come at the end of the age and is going to rule the world, or a ruler who will rise to power during the tribulation period. And yes, that is true. There's only one person that is called the Antichrist. But the term Antichrist means against or opposed to Christ. And John is telling us that in the last days, there are going to be many who are opposed to Christ, particularly those who are rulers or government officials and leaders, and they are actively opposed to and hostile to Christ and Christianity. And of course, we are already seeing that happen. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 2:3-8, Paul writes about the end times and the revealing of the Antichrist, who he refers to as the man of lawlessness. And the Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness because he will oppose in every way the biblical God and his laws. And so we see an increasing opposition to the laws of God, to the teachings of Scripture today, don't we? And Paul writes in verses 7 and 8, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming." The only thing that is holding back the revealing of the Antichrist is that God is keeping the church here in the world. The church is still in the world, and because of the influence of the church and for the sake of the church, God has not allowed the Antichrist to rise to power yet. God has not allowed the tribulation to start yet. But once the church is taken out of the way in the rapture, that is when the Antichrist will be allowed to rise to worldwide power. But notice that the power of Antichrist, or the spirit of lawlessness, will already be at work in the world, not blatantly with one worldwide leader, but more subtly. But the spirit will definitely be present and active and recognizable in the world. And we already see that. We see a world that is opposed to, blatantly and defiantly, to the teachings of Scripture. And the question we ask is, as this opposition increases, will we be able to stand? Will we be able to pay the price as the three Hebrew children did when they were cast into the fiery furnace, or Daniel when he was cast into the lion's den? Right now, the price might be just the loss of a job or the shutdown of our social media, but the cost will escalate the nearer we get to the end. And the question we have to ask, are we willing and able to pay that price? So we have got to stay committed to follow God's ways no matter the cost. And we must trust that God will honor those who honor him. God will honor those who honor him. He honored Daniel and his friends. He blessed their diet when they rejected the king's diet, and he enabled them to excel in their skills and abilities far above all the other students. He honored Daniel, promoting him to the highest position next to the king during the reign of 8 kings. He honored Daniel and his friends, not by keeping them from persecution, but by giving them the strength to stand and by being with them in the persecution and delivering them. And we have to trust that God will be with us as well. If we will do what is right, our journey may take us on a different path than Daniel or these three Hebrew men, but we can count on the fact that if we honor God, he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, and he will honor us with his presence, with his protection, and with his deliverance. And ultimately, Jesus promises, what blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? This is going to happen. People are going to curse you and mock you and accuse you as evil because you follow Christ. And it's already happening. He says, "What? When that happens, what are we supposed to do? Be happy." Or be blessed. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. So what he's saying, you know what? When you serve God, especially as the end appears, the end nears, we are going to be hated. We are going to suffer persecution. We're going to be mocked. We're going to be reviled. We're going to be cursed. But you know what? Don't let it get you down. Rejoice, because there's a reward. If you were going the way of the world, you would be blending in and they would accept you. The reason that they're rejecting you is because you're not like the world. You're following Jesus. You're different from the world. One author compares the way Christians are to live in this ungodly world to chocolate chip cookies. How many of you like chocolate chip cookies? Amen. Yeah, they're good, aren't they? But if you've ever made chocolate chip cookies, what do? You start by mixing flour and butter and vanilla and baking soda and eggs and sugar, and you mix it all up. You blend it together, right? And when you blend it together, each of those ingredients lose their original form, so that you can't distinguish the sugar or the baking soda or the vanilla. You can't distinguish the individual ingredients from one another, right? But then one of the last things you do is you add the delicious chocolate chips, and they never lose their identity or form. Even after they're put in the oven, even after they're heated to high temperatures, they are still clearly identifiable as chocolate chips. Am I right? And when you taste that cookie, You can't separate what is sugar or what is flour or what is baking soda or what is vanilla, but you can always taste the chocolatiness of the chocolate chips. It never blends in. It always stands out. Sweet and delicious, but it stands out. That's how God wants us to be in this world. He doesn't want us to blend in and lose our identity and lose our distinctiveness, but he wants us to stand out, sweet and delicious, something that attracts others to the Christ that we follow. And God is saying to us, don't blend in, but stand out. Be distinct, be separate, even when the heat is on. And so tonight, let's just renew our commitment like Daniel, that we are going to be committed to the Lord, that we will refuse to compromise no matter the cost. Would you just stand to your feet if that's your heart's desire? And let's just spend a few moments in prayer, praying that we would guard our hearts and our minds from being influenced by the unrelenting message of this godless world, and that we would remain committed to the Lord. Lift your voice and you pray as we all pray out. God, we just come before you tonight thanking you that you are our shield and our fortress. And right now there is a war being waged for the minds of those who follow you. The world is constantly bombarding us with its godless message that is contrary to your word. And we pray right now that you would give your people discernment of spirit, that we may be able to recognize and reject the messaging of this world that is opposed to you and to your ways. We pray for your help, that our mind would not be influenced by the brainwashing of the constant bombardment of the messaging that we hear in media and entertainment and education and politics. We pray against the strongholds of darkness that may have already entrenched themselves in our thinking and in the thinking of your people. We pray for the demolishing of every human argument and all thinking that sets itself up and opposes the knowledge of Christ. We thank you that you have given us spiritual weapons that are mighty through God to the destroying of strongholds, to the defeating of the attacks of the enemy. Chief of those weapons that you have given us is your word, the sword of your spirit. We pray that your people, we included, would saturate our minds and our hearts with your word through daily reading the scriptures and reflecting upon them, through regularly sitting under the preaching of your word so that our mind may be constantly renewed. Your word is alive. Your word is powerful, and it penetrates to the depths of our being as a two-edged sword, separating what is of the soul, what is of the flesh, from what is of the spirit. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, your word would separate those thoughts that are from our soul, exposing everything that is not of you, and that your word would revolutionize our thinking, that your word would transform our lives, that we may be able to know what your will is in every situation, that we may hold fast to the truth of your word, to your values, to the morals, to the standards that are taught in your word, and that we might glorify you in our lives by standing out in this world with a godly testimony that will be a bright and shining light in the midst of darkness. We pray this over our lives. We pray this over this, your church, and we pray this for your church throughout this land, Lord God, that truly names the name of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, both in person and those online. And we pray that you'll have a wonderful rest of the night. Stay safe and stay healthy. We love you all. God bless you.